Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to all the people wandering the wasteland. Good evening to the herders herding their cattle. Good evening to the farmers. The farmers farming their land. Good evening to the wild cowboys and the crazy folk living on the perimeter. It is August the 26th. Can you believe it, brothers and sisters? In the age of Boblimpdoc, it is August the 26th, 2021. It seems like yesterday was 2019, when you had hope. Yes, indeed. It seems like only yesterday we looked up at the sky with a smile on our face. But now we look at the moon and we shake our fist at the moon. We look at the sun and we shake our fist and we give an eagle to the sun, you know, middle finger. We look at the sky and we say, darn you, sky. Darn you for being such a red, terrible sky. But indeed, it's August the 26th, 2021, and it's right around 11:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time where I'm at. Because I'm living in Utah, and if you live in Utah, you live high on the hog. You live off the fat of the land. You live off of the juice of the valley. First topic, and if you're listening on a shortwave radio set, the date will probably be different because this is a pre-recorded broadcast, but yeah. If you're listening on a shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz, Saturday or Sunday night between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, WRMI, Whiskey Romeo Mike India, WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee. And if you want the notes for this podcast broadcast, just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And you can get the notes for the show, and it'll change your life. Really. I mean it. I totally mean it. First topic. First topic. So, it's easy, perhaps too easy, and I'm mainly speaking to people of faith right now, and I don't know if I should say specifically Christians, but I'm a Christian, and that is my basis for having a conversation about religion. So, I suppose I'm speaking mainly to Christians, but this isn't meant to be exclusive. I think that a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu, or an animist, or a witch, a Wiccan, whatever, a juggalo, I think a lot of folks out there could probably understand, even if they have a different belief system. I don't want to get into a religious war because we have enough conflict right now. That's one of the things that's going on. Too much conflict. And I'll also say this too, if you're at the point in the game where you feel like you're ready to go Conan Barbarian, if you feel like you're ready to go all Conan the Barbarian, if you really, really feel like that, I get it. I get it. I mean, as a man, as a Christian, as a human being, or just a creature living on this planet, if you've reached your tolerance for the crap, and there is so much crap, and all the excuses, oh, they want you to do it, they don't want you to do it. I'll tell you what they want you to do is stay at home and do nothing. So if you're at the point where you feel like you have to become Conan the Barbarian, I'm not saying that you should do it, and I don't necessarily think Christ would approve, but I understand. We are at that point in the game, because even if all the vaccine nonsense is just more psyop, more manipulation, more trauma-based mind control, even if all of it is basically a sea of lies, it is abusive. It is corrosive. It is disgusting, and there is no future to it. So whatever the strategy for getting off this crazy Titanic, we have to do it, and we need to stop listening to the people who say we can't do it. I think I spoke about this yesterday about, you know, my way or the highway people. There's just one way. If someone tells you there's only one way or only one last chance, these people are the problem. They are the people trying to keep you from doing something. Oh, you can only do it one way. You have to do crypto, and you're only going to get one chance. Brothers and sisters, as long as you're alive, you have an infinite number of chances. In the great casino known as life, and once again, see the book of Ecclesiastes and read the whole thing, not just the parts for weddings, funerals, and nice little songs from the 60s. Read the whole thing. It's a casino too. It's an ice cream cone, but it's also a casino. And in the casino of life, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you have a chance. So if somebody's telling you there's only one way and you only have one chance, that's a lie. I don't know if the lie is being done on purpose. I don't know if it's meant to be cruel. But if someone's saying that, and I don't care who it is, no matter what their online description might be, no matter how many paid trolls they might have, if they're telling you there's only one way and you only have one chance, that is a lie. The first topic is kind of related, and yet not, because I'm saying, yeah, if you feel like becoming Conan the Barbarian, I get it, but I also would caution people to not act out violently, because as I said, the world already has too much violence. I'm not telling you don't defend yourself, and I know this may sound difficult to understand for some folks out there, especially people who are opposed to an individual's right to defend themselves. With, frankly, whatever weapon you can find. All this Second Amendment crap is crap. I'm way over it. Okay? Whatever weapons I buy on the black market from here on out for the rest of my life. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your Second Amendment, which failed you, or your Constitution, which failed you. I'm talking about the absolute right of every living thing to exist, to protect its existence. But at the same time, we don't need more violence. So I would say, protect yourself, defend yourself, do not be vulnerable. Do not open yourself up to attack. Do not wrestle the gigantic, diseased, parasitic crocodile. Don't choose to fight it on its own terms. Don't. But what we don't need is more violence. So, yeah, if you feel like you want to be Conan the Barbarian, if you feel like you've reached your limit, I understand. And I cannot judge. Because if I'd stayed in Seattle, I would not have harmed anyone. But it's possible I would have harmed myself. And that's an act of violence. I'm not saying you don't have a right to do what you gotta do, but it's still an act of violence. I listened to a lot of people at times when it came to that issue of, is there one way? And for me, in February of 2021, which is February of this year, I would have said there's just one way. And that one way leads directly to my destruction. My plan was to declare my little pod in the corner of that wretched building, Rod. That's the Republic of Dan. And the Republic of Dan had approximately, 150 square feet. And the Republic of Dan had a toilet and a shower, which frankly was going to be the most protected part of the whole Republic. So that's where the White House is, on the toilet. Yeah. The Republic of Dan. But when I thought about it, I never thought to myself that I wanted to harm anyone, because every time I went through that process, it wasn't a question of whether I would defend myself, but it was a question of, do I really want to harm some random moron that decided to make a few extra bucks doing something corrupt, like forcing medical procedures on people through fear? Do I really want to make that person's world be a consequence-filled world? It will be. Other people will choose differently, but do I want to make that choice? And the answer was no. I don't want more violence. I don't think most people do. What I would love is probably impossible, and that is for people to seek the truth, understand the truth, and then figure out a way for those of us that are redeemable to find forgiveness. I gotta be honest, there's a lot of people after this mess is over, if it is ever over, there are people that are not redeemable. Okay, you will never redeem these people. There's no way back. Okay, there is no way I would ever recognize Bill Gates as a human being. Sorry. He disappeared from the list of people because he has no soul, no spirit, no moral compass. He is wretched. So there are people for which there is no way back. And even if the people that we are shown are mere puppets, by their actions as puppets, they have perpetuated a horrific lie, and for them there is no way back. If your name is Governor Jay Inslee, in a just world, if this world ever sees justice again, best case scenario, you're spending the rest of your life in jail. Jay, you got to get used to that. I would catch up on that Netflix show, Jay, Orange is the New Black. Because if there is ever anything that one could rationally consider justice in the world, I don't mean the justice of God. That's a separate kind of justice, and that always happens. I mean the so-called justice of the world. This existence, while we're here. If that were to ever happen, and I don't think it will, there are people that cannot be redeemed. They will never be redeemed. It doesn't mean that they end up in a wood chipper, but I gotta be blunt, there are some of these folks who probably do deserve that. It doesn't mean it's my place to do the job. It doesn't mean it's my place to judge. But what I can tell you, having read my Bible and a few history books, is that consequences are real. And there are people that have so abused their right to call themselves human beings, I think they no longer deserve the right to call themselves human beings. I think they're monsters. And the only thing you can do with monsters, other than defend yourself, is when you have the opportunity, eradicate them. That's it. But I can't tell you how that works, and I am serious. I don't think the world needs more violence. But I am telling you, after truth and forgiveness, there will still be people that only Christ could forgive, because I could never forgive. And there are people I know that probably I will never forgive. People in my life, they don't need to figure it out. I don't care if you figure it out. Chances are they don't listen. to this podcast. There are people I know I might never be able to forgive because they entered into this thing so blind, so incapable of using the brain that God gave them, that they allowed themselves to be corrupted, and then they spread the corruption, the real disease, the real COVID-19. They spread the fear, and they keep spreading it because they want you to be scared just like them. Or maybe they get off on it. I don't know. Between you and I, brothers and sisters, this is wearing me down. There is nothing cool or exciting or wonderful, and I am lucky. I'm in the middle of nowhere. If you're still in a city, I am sorry for you, because if you're in one of these cities that is currently being quote-unquote led by somebody like Mayor Jenny Jerkin-Durkin, or in a state being led by somebody like that rancid piece of crap, Jay Inslee, I feel sorry for you. I am never going back to Washington State while those types of people feel like they have the authority to be monsters. I don't have to fight them. I don't have to act out like them, but I can do this, and this is something the Lord is okay with. I can choose to avoid them. The other day, a friend of mine, someone I care about, gave me a little conversation on the phone about diet and health, that we should eat the right stuff. And this is a true statement. But it's more than just what you put in your mouth. It's what you put in your mind. It's not just avoid the poison of the body. We need to avoid the poison of the spirit. And Seattle and Washington State are mostly poison to me now. Not every part of it, not the whole thing, but frankly, when it comes to the places where most of the people are in that state, I could never go back. It's true. It's true. We should eschew violence, but it's also true that the Lord admonishes us to avoid evil. And that place is just plain evil to me now. And I've gone off on a bit of a tangent because the first topic wasn't really this, but I'm kind of glad I got it out of my system. We wake up in the morning and we want to shake our fist at heaven. And I get it. And you might want to turn into Conan the Barbarian, as discussed, I understand. And we discussed the issue of, well, should we add more violence? And I gotta say, I don't have an easy answer because, like I said, I am not Christ. I am certain Christ could forgive everyone in a way that I am currently incapable of, because I believe people have chosen evil, and there's no way you can forgive evil. You can't say it's okay to be evil. You can forgive a person. But if that person chooses to harm people over and over and over again, how do you just say that's okay? At some point, you do run out of chances, no offense. Christ might be capable of forgiving a murderer over and over again, but I can't do it. I can't. And I just don't think the Lord works that way either. I don't. I think that there's forgiveness, but I also think that there's justice. We need to understand this. But the other side of the coin, the other part of the picture, and this is the part that's hard, and maybe this is why this topic is so hard to talk about. But the other part of this is the question of what we still have. For example, I still have food, water, shelter. I have food enough for a couple months. I have a couple crates filled with rice and dried beans and other things. I'm not a hardcore prepper, but I do live in Utah, so I guess it's kind of a thing to have some extra food on hand. So I have extra food. I have food, water, shelter. And so I'm going to say something, but it's okay to say this privately, and I'm simply saying it publicly. I am grateful to God that I have food, water, shelter. This is a good thing. I have new friends and old friends. I have friends in Florida. I have friends in completely new places called Ozarkia. I have friends still in Washington State, although I pray for them because that place is a pestilence-ridden skank hole, but I have friends in Washington State still. I have friends in a lot of places, new and old friends. I have a new friend who I didn't even realize was already a pretty good friend who helped me get out of Seattle. So overall, I'd say I am grateful, Lord in heaven, for all my friends. And I am grateful for my family. Right now, I gotta say, the COVID thing has kind of like created a splinter between myself and a lot of my family members. And there is no easy way through it. This is not, I like the Seahawks or I like the Broncos. This is not a sports division. This is a matter of respecting people's dignity. That is really what it is. And so, yeah, there's division and it's not good. But I am grateful for my family, despite the division, because I guess there always is. And maybe there's a way through this. I don't know. But I am grateful for my family, and I am definitely grateful for my new friends and my old friends. I am grateful to God. There are dogs here that I get to walk in Utah. Three dogs. One of them, I'm not sure of the breed. The other two, one's a hovavort. And really, it's a beautiful dog, but it looks like a German Shepherd slash Lab. But one's a hovavort, which is kind of a German farm dog, and the other is a Shar Pei. And when I get up in the morning, I can hear them wrestling about because they know that there's a good chance I'm going to take one or two, or well, not three of them because that's not possible, but one or two of them for a walk. And it sounds like the dumbest thing in the world, taking dogs for a walk. But I am grateful to God for that peace. I am grateful to God that these dogs are basically wonderful, beautiful creatures. And frankly, they communicate in a way that leads me to believe there's more going on than people give credit. And they're good, they're beautiful, good animals, and they're friends. And I am grateful to God for these dogs. So there's another. I am grateful that I have ears because I love music. I love the sound of the world. I am grateful I can hear because there is this channel of existence out there that if you can hear, and there are people that, you know, are born without hearing or lose their hearing. And yes, there are mechanical replacements, but there's a good chance that's, you know, probably not going to be exactly the same, but who knows? Right? How do you prove it? But I am grateful to God, not simply that I can hear, but yeah, that there are people who have developed technologies to help others hear because music is beautiful. And we should thank the Lord in heaven that we can hear music. I am grateful to God that I have eyes because, yeah, I have to see some pretty terrible stuff. And in an age of deception and lies, I have to see things that are evil and are false, and yet they're out there and it's hard to ignore them. I have to see the wretched stuff they're doing in the sky. You can mock me all you want to. Oh, Dan's going to talk about chemtrails. No, I don't know for certain what they're doing, but I am pretty certain it's a mechanical process. And when you see the whole, you know, shutting the thing off flutter, where you have a couple little miniature clouds left behind, yeah, my eyes see things I wish I didn't have to see. And there are a lot of insults against nature right now that far too many people in this world, and I don't care about your politics because this applies to everybody, but far too many people, and I guess I would include myself, are just not understanding the insults to nature that have occurred. So despite the fact that my eyes show me evil, my eyes also show me beauty. And even in the darkness and the evil, there is beauty. Because this world was created by a brilliant mind beyond compare, by an infinite spirit, by a spirit filled with love and beauty. And that's what we have in this world. So thank you, Lord in heaven. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the eyes I have to see. I have a nose to smell, and if you don't know this, most of your taste is in your nose. It's why when you get a cold, everything tastes, you know, it's salty, it's bitter, it's sweet, it's sour, but it's bland. when you have a cold. So I am grateful to the Lord in heaven that I have a nose to smell. Yeah, sometimes I have to smell really crappy stuff. But sometimes I get to smell the bouquet of an aged, beautiful red French wine. Sometimes I get to sniff the citrusy, you know, off scent of a nice IPA. Sometimes I get to smell barbecue in the distance. Sometimes I smell people starting early wintertime fires. Sometimes that's what you smell in the late autumn. People in their, you know, people have fires in their fireplaces. I'm glad for the smell of coffee. The smell of coffee is almost as powerful as the coffee. I am thankful for all of the things I've been able to smell. So thank you, Lord in heaven, for the nose. Thank you for the fingers that allow me to touch, even if they're in pain. Thank you for all of the amazing, marvelous, beautiful clues you left behind. Because, Lord in heaven, if we have eyes to see and we have ears to hear and if we are willing to touch and understand and to think and above all else to think, to use the mind that you gave us, Lord, you left clues everywhere. It's just that sometimes in our own hubris, we think the clues are just accidents. And maybe they are. I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a doubting Thomas. Jesus, come on over here. I need to stick my finger in your wound. So I am kind of a doubting Thomas. I am a person that questions. It was my questioning that led me to God. And I don't want to go down the whole path because it would take too long. But yeah, I would say that it was the questioning that led me to the Lord. So next topic. But before we go, I would just like to emphasize something. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. I am shaking my fist at heaven. I almost said I'm fisting heaven. Boy, that would be bad. I think Jesus knew what I meant. Intentionality, God, intentionality. But no, I shake my fist at heaven, and I shake my fist at the sky and the moon and the sun, and I get as angry as all you probably. We're, you know, there are good reasons to be angry, and there are justified reasons for wanting to become Conan the Barbarian. You know, as that famous anarchist once said, sometimes you just want to raise the pirate's flag. Was that Mencken? Sometimes you just want to raise a pirate's flag and slit a few throats. I think that's H.L. Mencken. But with all the rage, and there's justified rage, I'm not going to say there's not. I'm not going to give you some Buddhist, Zenist, crapola, mindfulness, cognitive psychology, cognitive behaviorist, crap speech. I'm not going to tell you there are easy answers. There are not. If you're angry right now, you probably have a lot of good reasons. But what I would say before we go to the next topic is that with your anger, we should all remember the things that we have. If you can walk, you should be grateful because there are people that cannot walk. There are people that have probably, if the vaccine injury stuff is not a psyop, there are probably people that have been injured to the point that they cannot walk because they decided to take this experimental medical procedure. So yeah, if you can walk, we should be grateful that we can walk. If you can do the things that allow you to participate in this world, we should be thankful. If you have food, water, shelter, it may seem like a small thing, but a lot of people on planet Earth right now don't have all those things all the time. And maybe almost none of those things most of the time. So if you have food, water, shelter, like your good friend Dan, It's good to be grateful. And if you don't believe in God, it's okay to simply be grateful. It's okay to simply recognize the things you have. And it's also okay to be angry. I don't think you should stew in your juices. I think that you have to have an outlet. And I don't have a magical description on what that is. But it's okay if you're angry. Next topic. So, starting several years ago, in fact, one could say this goes back 10 years, there has been a pattern, and I'm going to call it a pattern because you need to understand something. People like Snowden, for example, Edward Snowden, the famous leaker, I think he still lives in Moscow or something. People like Snowden get a blue check mark on Twitter. So if you think he's an outsider, you're smoking crack. And I don't want to talk about Julian Assange because it could be a true story. It could be a fake story. It could be a mixture. Like Julian Assange could have the bad luck of being caught up in a scheme. But here's what I will tell you. Going back a decade, we have revelation after revelation that in former times would have led to the fall of a government. Not just one revelation of wrongdoing, not just one example from WikiLeaks of the kind of corruption that happens in government, but we have many examples. And it's not about one party. It's not about Republicans or Democrats. We've had revelation after revelation, and the Epstein revelations, again, from, you know, I think right around or just prior to the COVID nonsense. All of this seems random in a way, but if you look at it, maybe it's not. If you are told that people in positions of authority are doing things and there is no resolution, there is no justice, whatever happened to Epstein, there was no justice in that. He didn't go before a jury of his peers or a judge. Whether he was killed, whether he committed suicide, or whether he's still alive someplace in the state of Israel, I don't really know. All I can tell you is there was no justice. And it's not just the Epstein case. There have been so many of these examples of atrocities and offenses that are clear and obvious and gross, and there is no resolution, there is no justice. And you could say, well, you know, at least the truth is getting out. But I'm going to give you a different perspective on this. As you well know, if you listen to this podcast, I believe what we've been mainly experiencing for the last 18 months has been a series of managed military psychological warfare operations. I don't think any of it is that real. Are people being harmed? Probably. Are buildings being burned? Definitely. Are there special effects being applied? Clearly. But I would tell you that for the most part, it's still a psyop. I don't doubt that people are being poisoned because you have to. You have to create the background story. But if you know enough about hospitals, you know that you really don't have to do much other than move the numbers around to make things look like a pandemic. Hospitals kill people with infections by the hundreds of thousands in ordinary years in the United States. So it's not that hard to create a horror ward of the terrible cases of COVID just out of things that hospitals do normally because they're screwed up. And we've talked about that before too. What I propose is really quite simple, and we've discussed this before. It came up in a podcast from early 2020 called Popping Smoke. And the basic contention is this, that all these revelations, all they serve to do is create confusion and anger. That's it. That's what they do. I don't care about the content. Yes, the content could be true. I don't doubt that these people do terrible things, but that's not the purpose. The content of these revelations is not as relevant as the purpose. The purpose is to make people angry, to make them sad, to make them depressed, and along with all the other nonsense, to immobilize them. to put them into the trap of, well, I'll vote different, I'll vote different, I'll vote harder in 2022. You can vote as hard as you want to in 2022, and God bless if you're an optimist and you think that there's going to be something like that, because I don't see it. But yeah, you can vote however you want to in 2022, okay? Mr. and Mrs. Optimist, but there is no resolution. So when people talk about WikiLeaks and when people talk about QAnon and the Anon movement, they describe these things in terms that they're somehow independent and based on freedom. I'm going to tell you that there's a pretty good chance that the Q and the QAnon and the WikiLeaks and all of this is completely managed. It was managed from the beginning. After 10 years of this nonsense and realizing that nothing changes and things are just getting worse, the only conclusion I can come to is that the purpose of these revelations is just to piss people off. It's like the Nirvana album cover thing. There was an article in the news. I'll leave it to you to research, brothers and sisters, but there was an article in the news about Nirvana and having an album cover with a naked baby on it, and how the person that was the baby is suing because they're claiming it was, you know, child abuse or something. I don't want to get into that because that's a whole nother gross topic. But where is the purpose in this? Is the purpose justice? People don't need to know this. This story is not that newsworthy. It could have very easily not become newsworthy, I think. But the reason why it's so special and newsworthy, it's not just because of Nirvana. It's because it's another thing that you can toss in people's faces and say, look, nothing's going to change. You will never change things. Evil will do what it wants to do as long as it has power, period. And I'm not even claiming that the Nirvana thing was an act of evil. I would simply say this, that it certainly does piss people off. All of it. The people that think it's ridiculous get pissed off. The people that think it's real get pissed off. The Nirvana thing is probably a perfect example because it pisses everybody off. It's a dumb story. And beyond that, I can't really say anything else. Next topic, right? Next topic. Whoa, I think there's a theme in these topics tonight, hopefully. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and again, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI 5950 kilohertz out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the Great Swamp, the Everglades, the alligators will organize into an alligator army, the python, the Burmese python will join in those forces, the raccoons will ride the alligators like their swamp horses, and they'll carry submachine guns and you are doomed, but we don't know when that's going to happen. It's just a question of Bo Blimp Doc. But yes, this is WRMI, 5950 kilohertz, Saturday or Sunday night, sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you want the notes for this podcast broadcast, go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. You pick the right date, you'll get the right notes. Not all of these shows are currently scheduled, so just go to the link if you're online. I'm not going to go deeper into this. Next topic, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Here's a Dr. Freckles quote. Your faith in the Lord is inversely related to your fear of man and his works. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Your faith in the Lord is inversely related to your fear of man and his works. And if you're not a Christian, or if you're not Jewish, or if this just doesn't apply, put it into terms that would apply. I think if you're a believer in human liberty, if you defend liberty as a value, I would say your faith in liberty is inversely related to your fear of man and his works. I think there is a connection there. So, but I'm going to focus on this thing about the Lord, because here's the thing. If you're a Christian, and let's just talk about Christians right now. If you're a Christian and there is any feature of man's fear in your religion right now, if you're integrating the COVID-19 and the muzzle wearing and all the other psychologically damaging things into your spirituality, then I don't know who you're worshiping, but you're not worshiping God. And you need to understand that. You see, there are some things that we can probably slack off on, you know, I guess as Christians. And if you're a Christian, this applies. If you're not, this doesn't apply. And you could definitely turn the radio off for a few minutes or wait for me to get done sermonizing piano preacher. Brother Stare, part two, right? We'll see. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I had Brother Stare money. I wish I knew how to beg for the money, but I don't really want to, because I'd much rather people take care of themselves right now. And if you're so lucky to be so rich that you can donate, you can, but I don't push it for obvious reasons. Your faith in the Lord is inversely related to your fear of man and his works. What does this mean? It means that if your faith is strong, you're not afraid of people. People are just like you. You have a rental on a meat sack. That meat sack starts falling apart pretty much the day you're born. Yeah, it builds up a little. So let's say after you turn 20. And once that meat sack starts falling apart, it only gets worse. And if you get to 50, well, if you get to 50 and you can walk and talk and breathe and still, you know, have sex with a person, if that's a thing. If you get to that point in your life, you know, be grateful. But ultimately, your faith in the Lord is in part and could be measured by the absence of fear of people. You see, we really shouldn't be afraid of people. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a good person. That's not my point. I'm not saying you should victimize people. This is not an attempt at trying to integrate Friedrich Nietzsche and the Bible. That's not it. I'm not saying that, you know, because you're afraid of the Lord, you can do what you want to people. No. It's kind of the opposite. What I would say is that if you're afraid of anything people do, and I don't care what it is, could be psyops like they're doing right now, could be nuclear weapons, could be massive armies or special forces or super helicopters or super robots, whatever the works of man are that drives you to be afraid, nanites, biotechnology, chemical weapons, you name it. If you're more afraid of the things that people can do than you're afraid of God, you have a problem. Your faith in the Lord is weak. I've been hearing stories from many people over the last year of churches that kind of open up and they kind of do one thing or the other. They're standing in both worlds. They are lukewarm at best. And if you read, I think it's in the book of Revelation, I believe it's one of the letters to the churches, but the Lord doesn't like you lukewarm, hot or cold. Have your faith or have none. But if you're walking around with a mask on and holding a Bible in your hand right now, what is wrong with you? If you're a heart transplant patient, if there's a valid reason and you are certain the mask actually works, okay. But that's not what we're talking about with all these freaks right now. What we're seeing is religious obedience, but not to God. What we're seeing is religious obedience to an apostate, to a devil, to a false pretender replacement that can never be a replacement for God. If your fear of human beings and the crap they do is great, then chances are your faith in Jesus Christ is not where it should be. Here's a great piece of advice that everybody should follow, and I'm going to try to follow myself, but it's hard to do if you want to be a timely podcast, right? But here's a good piece of advice. If we are fairly certain that much or most of the news And I say news in the sarcastic quotes that you can hear over the podcast radio. If we are pretty certain that the news is mostly bullshit at this point and mostly designed to harm you psychologically, then would it not make sense to just turn it off? Turn off the fear. You know what I was saying about the poison? You should take care of your body. Uncle Dan should drink less beer. I should exercise more, and I should have more vitamins. But on top of that, I should also avoid putting poison into my spirit. And if you wear a mask around all day, you are poisoning the spiritual world. Now, again, you might have a good reason for it, but if you do, check your premises. Look at the box that says, this does not protect you from the virus. It actually says that on the box. Look at the box. If there's a reason for you to wear a mask, get yourself a mask that actually works. But I don't even think that's the truth. I don't think any of these masks work. I think they harm. And I definitely think they display obedience to something. Just not to God. What did Dr. Freckles say? Your faith in the Lord is inversely related to your fear of man and his works. Or her works. You can remove gender from that. Because gender is irrelevant. Men and women both are capable of great evil. But don't fear these pathetic people that walk around committing evil. Fear God. And when I say fear God, don't live in fear of God. Actually, you know, if your faith is working right, you live in love of God. But if you love God and you have faith in the Lord, then your fear of all the dumb crap that people do, that's misplaced. And if you're a preacher and you're running a church right now, and you are adopting any version of these lies, then I don't know who or what you represent, but you do not represent God. And I will say that definitively, without equivocation, without a question mark. Next topic. And the next topic is a news story about a planet they discovered. It's in the notes. I don't really want to read this article. I read it the other day. Some nearby system. Well, let's take a look at the article. We'll talk about it a bit. This article appeared in the Epoch Times. And once again, if you go to dfgtc.org/show notes and pick the right date if you're listening on shortwave, and you can get the right notes. But this article appeared in the Epoch Times. And now I'm getting some type of weird pop-up. Great. And it was written by Liu Zhao, and the headline is, Nearby Planetary System May Have Right Conditions to Host Life. And you know, you can read the rest of it. It's 35 light years away, blah, 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 blah. You can read the rest about this yourself. I have mixed feelings about outer space stories because they really do seem like tall tales sometimes. I know, but Dan, look at the pictures. You know, pictures can lie. A lot of pictures can lie, and the evidence that we're given for things that have occurred is not as strong as you might think. I don't think it's nearly as strong, but there's lots of evidence to, you know, to be a bit wary. The idea that there would be this half-century gap between the first time and the second time they go to the moon, you know, the first series of trips, and then there's this gap of 50 years plus, that's weird. It's not just a little weird, you know, and again, it'll be almost 50 years here in a year or two, but that's weird. 50 years almost, and no one went back to the moon. We're led to believe, you know, the techno-optimist utopians tell us all the great things about technology, and then I go back to, but 50 years? That's a long time, you know. So I don't know the truth about space. I would just assume go there. My whole life they've said we're gonna get the chance to go there. The most likely way I ever get to space will be the way that Harry Truman did. And I don't mean the president. I mean the dude and his, 17 cats on Mount St. Helens. Harry Truman and his 17 cats made it to space. They traveled when that volcano exploded at hundreds of miles per hour towards space. They might have even reached the Kármán line. Who knows, right? Harry Truman, astronaut. There you go. Next topic. You know, we only have a few minutes left, and I don't know. Some of this stuff I've talked about before, so I don't really want to go over it again. Maybe in the time we have left, I'd like to talk about a project that my friend and I are working on. We have been working on this project for about a month. If you're listening on a shortwave radio, you may have been participating with us, but after the shows on Saturday and Sunday night, for at least 30 minutes, we try to do it for 30 minutes, we are organizing something called the Agorist Emergency Network. And what it is simply a network that allows licensed and unlicensed folks who have shortwave transceivers to test their equipment. That's the key word, test. Test your equipment prior to an emergency. This is allowed. It kind of makes sense. If you're allowed to use a shortwave in an emergency, it probably makes sense to test it first, to actually learn how to use it. Because I'll tell you something, if you don't do that, you're probably not going to be able to make much use of your radio in an emergency. So what we're doing on 7235 kilohertz, 7235 kilohertz, Saturday, Sunday night, midnight Eastern Standard Time, for at least a half an hour, is we're hosting the Agorist Emergency Network. Net control call sign, you know, right now is Dr. Freckles, but we also have a regular ham radio call sign. I think it's Kilo India Alpha 7 Charlie or something like that. But anywho, if you call out for Dr. Freckles, 7235 kilohertz, we will be checking, we'll be allowing check-ins. You can test your equipment, and yeah. And I know there are folks out there who probably think this is crazy, especially people who mine Bitcoin and are connected to their smart device all the time. But it might not be crazy. I mean, there's a reason why they subsidize your dog collar, or excuse me, your smartphone. There's a reason why they subsidize it. There's a reason why you get money to have that thing. There's a reason why you can go to a Walmart with 50 bucks and get one, basically. Maybe not an iPhone, but probably an Android phone. And the reason is they want you to have that in your pocket. You will get zero help. And well, you'll get help from us, and certainly go to dfgtc.org/AEN, because if you go to that link, you will find a lot more information on what we're doing. But my friend has pointed this out, that I'm working with, my friend Justin, that in the world of ham radio, you don't get a lot of help, and you definitely don't get subsidies for buying these radios. So as any decent, rational economist might conceive, what you subsidize, you'll get more of. Well, they definitely don't want people on shortwave. So anywho, if you're out there, you can email me, me@imsully.com, and I can get you information on shortwave setups. I have a link on that page, dfgtc.org/AEN. I have a link on that page to my friend's YouTube channel, and he has a lot of information on that channel about shortwave radio, transceivers, how to set up antennas, stuff like that, all of which is critical. A key point right now is that we could be looking at shortages. So if you want to buy either a shortwave radio or a CB radio, because before I, you know, go too far, the CB won't help you with shortwave, but that CB radio might be one of the ways you contact other people in your community if things kind of go sideways. So whether it's a CB radio or a ham radio, getting radios could get difficult at some point in the near future. I don't know when. I mean, I truly am boggled by the spinning plates right now. the spinning plates in the air. I am boggled that they're able to keep these plates spinning, and it's hard to know when the plates will start falling on the floor, but it does seem like it's going to happen. So if you're going to get a ham radio set, you probably want to do that very soon. And if you're going to get the equipment that you need with it, which would probably include some type of a power supply, AC to DC, it includes antenna, it includes the actual cable you need, the cables to hook up the antenna. There's a bunch of stuff you need. The basic estimate that my friend gave me is that for somewhere around $1,500 plus or minus, you can get all the stuff you need to set this thing up. Saturday, Sunday night, midnight until 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be hosting this network, 7235 kilohertz, 40 meters lower sideband. And so I just wanted to make sure, you know, we get that out and we talk about it. And, you know, it's not perfect. Justin and I got really kind of tired last weekend. And so we both had a hard time doing the network stuff on Saturday and Sunday. But there was a competition, a ham radio competition. And so, you know, ham radio folks will compete for getting, you know, for essentially being able to reach people as one form of a competition. But anywho, there was a lot of competition stuff going on, so that was okay. Our purpose is not to step on ham radio people. The purpose is really quite simple, and it is as stated. We want to allow people to test their systems, to test their radio kits that they're going to use in an emergency prior to the emergency, to tune their antennas. And I would also add to put together a list of call signs and locations so that if things do go awry, people can start reaching out to each other. And I know there are people out there in the ham world who understand that it doesn't have to be a closed system. And when the system, the current system, goes sideways, it probably makes a lot of sense for people to be understanding and to help and educate and to mentor. So the closed doors are going to have to open up, because this might be one of the ways, this plus CB radio, these might be the ways that we kind of keep things going. Best case scenario, actually. But you know, this has been a planetary status report. And we've talked about a lot of things tonight. We've gone over lists of possibilities. And I said, you can be all Conan if you want to be, but maybe you should be grateful, Conan. Grateful for your stew. Grateful for your horse. Grateful for whatever woman you can sleep with in the cave. You can be grateful, Conan. You can be grateful if you have the courage. You can be grateful, Conan. You can be the Conan that smiles. You can be the Conan for miles. But brothers and sisters, shaking your fist at God does nothing other than make you tired.